This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dinesh D'Souza onto the show, host of a new podcast that you can check out. Pardon Me. He is an author and a filmmaker, and I've seen Trump Card, I've seen Death of a Nation, and they are fantastic, historical, accurate pieces of education that I encourage everyone to check out. Dinesh, it's a pleasure to have you on here today. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
So let me ask you this. As somebody who has studied history, and history does often repeat itself, this action that has been taken by big tech, from the people who own the platforms to the people who provide the structure for the platforms, are you concerned with the actions that have been taken by Twitter, by Amazon, by Google in the last week or even potentially before that?
Very much so. I think these platforms built themselves up on false advertising and false pretenses. They said that they were instruments of liberation. They would provide opportunities for public exchange of ideas, that you'd be able not only to find your old, you know, high school friends, but you'd also be able to engage with politics and participate in the public square, in a sense empowering the ordinary person to become almost, you may say, a publisher. And then once they had built these virtual monopolies, at least in their own space, they then turn on people with a vengeance and they go, okay, we're going to ban you. We're going to restrict you. We're going to cut you off. We're going to permanently suspend you. So this would be akin to the phone company saying, you know what? We have this great new technology. Everybody can communicate on it. And then they go, well, you know what? No hate speech is allowed on the phone, and we get to say what that is. And from now on, we're going to allow you to only make 2 phone calls a week. And even if you pay your bill, we reserve the right to cancel your phone privileges. I mean, this would be outrageous. People would shut down AT&T overnight. And yet this is exactly what these digital companies are doing. And they're doing it in collusion with each other.
Dinesh D'Souza, I'm looking for a silver lining in all this. I mean, it's tough to find, but the internet was supposed to be this great equalizer of communications, and for a while it was, but it seems like in the last 10 years, all of that power, like you said, has monopolized and centralized. Is this an opportunity for it to go back to what it was, to decentralize everything again?
Well, yes. The bad news, I think, is that companies like Google won't allow competition to really emerge. If a young company starts developing, for example, powerful ways of creating new search engines, Google just comes in and buys them for $300 million, makes that guy rich, and essentially takes that technology, incorporates it into Google, and that's the end of the what would otherwise be a competitive force in the market. That's how these monopolies have become protected. So I think there is a very good justification for the government to step in and break up monopolies. That's not anti-free market. That's actually making sure we do have a free market. Now, is that going to happen under the Biden administration? No, it's not going to happen. And so what that means in practice, I think, is that we need to build new platforms. A company like Parler, which was doing it, faced a coordinated 3-pronged attack from Apple and Google and Amazon. But if they're able to come back, if they're able to find someone to host their servers or buy their own servers, then they will be completely independent of these external forces, and they won't be beholden to them. They'll be able to really do, they'll achieve true independence, which they apparently have never really had.
Another one of those alternative platforms is Rumble, which is where you can find Dinesh's new podcast, Pardon Me. Encourage people to check that out, and we'll make sure we share the link there. I want to talk to you, Dinesh, about the last week, the events of the last week. I'm going to read to you specifically, purposely, from a CNN article. Evidence uncovered so far, including weapons and tactics seen on surveillance video, suggests a level of planning that has led investigators to believe the attack on the U.S. Capitol was not just a protest that spiraled out of control, a federal law enforcement official says. Now, yesterday we impeached the president on inciting an insurrection in the House of Representatives. Yet here with CNN, we're seeing that there was likely more organization than just, you know, some Trump-obsessed, loving supporters who, on a whim, because of something Donald Trump said, decided to storm the Capitol. It's hard to find truth today. It's hard to expose truth. And it seems to me like nobody in the mainstream media trusts people like you and me and the listener right now with the actual unvarnished truth. Is there anywhere to go at this point in time?
The problem with our media world now is that they will manipulate the truth to an ideological end. And so, for example, let's say that there was pre-planning for this Capitol Hill occupation. Well, number one, that hurts Trump in the sense that if some Trumpsters planned it, then it shows that there really was a kind of coordinated assault. This wasn't a case where the crowd just got out of hand and people streamed in. Somebody was planning to do this. But it also exonerates Trump himself, because how could he have incited something that was obviously in the works long before he even came up to the podium to speak? So you would think that the left would go, okay, let's put this information out, let people make of it what they may, let the analysis commence. But no, they want to control the information so that only the first conclusion can be drawn, but not the second. So I fear that the normal give and take of politics, the normal atmosphere of being able to speak freely, the left is really trying to shut that down. And that goes way beyond Trump. It even goes way beyond the election. It affects all of us as free citizens in a free society.
Dinesh D'Souza on the phone with us. Now that Democrats do have control of the both houses and the presidency, or here in a week they will, do you expect that they're going to continue to pursue these things really to no end, that they're just going to kind of put their foot down on the pedal harder? Or is this a time where maybe we might see a little bit of relaxation now that they've gotten what they wanted?
Well, they don't have what they wanted because the election was way too close. You know, in the Senate, it's 50-50. So, yeah, they can pull in Kamala Harris, but can they pull in Kamala Harris for every vote? No. Number two, let's just say that an impeachment movement got going against Biden. There's a lot of ill feeling about what happened to Trump. Let's say that that 100 people in the House decide, let's go after Biden, and let's do it starting January 21st. This group would only need to hold the Republicans and get 5 to 6 Democratic votes, and they could impeach Biden in his first year. So this is not a case where I think conservatives and Republicans should be like, oh, we lost everything. No, it's 50-50 in the Senate. It's almost 50-50 in the House. Now, where the left really is dominant is in the culture, in academia, in the media. They have a virtual monopoly. So they're trying to press their advantage in digital media, where they have the full control of the levers of power. But they don't have that on the U.S. government yet, and they don't even have the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you know, Dinesh, I so appreciate what you're saying there about in the culture, because they peddle in a fear of currency and they bully. And, you know, if you're somebody who supported this president because, say, you want to fight for the lives of the unborn, or you think that there is a fiscal conservative approach to the way we handle our economy that is better than, you know, the spend, tax way. If you are that person and you tune into Don Lemon, he's going to tell you that if you support Donald Trump, you are one with the Klan. It is unbelievable to see the gaslighting and the bullying that comes from the mainstream media that is trying to paint every single person who has ever voted Republican one way or the other as the person who was hanging from the rafters inside the chamber of the House of Representatives last week. How do people who are conservatives, who have been conservatives consistently, or who have come to find the benefits of conservatism, potentially even under a Trump administration, how do they face this constant onslaught of attack from people like Don Lemon, equating them with the KKK?
Well, first of all, the attack is completely baseless. And as often is the case, the left always takes this too far. See, this was a very close election. They're trying to make it sound like they've got a mandate to completely reset and remake American society. Now, the point is that there are lots of Americans, even some who voted for Biden, who are not up for that. And they're going to be watching to see what these guys do. In the culture, you're right. They have this monopoly. They're trying to. But I almost think that they are throwing a rain of blows, and if we can survive them, we're going to be fine. It's a little bit like the Ali-Foreman fight, where Foreman came in with a blitzkrieg of punches. But after a while, since he wasn't able to put Ali down, he was out of punches, and then it was Ali's turn. So my point is that if we're able to hang tough, recognize that, look, they do have this cultural power, let them do what they can. And at the end of the day, we say, listen, now what can we do? How do we build our own institutions? How do we build our own following that's not dependent on them? If we can't count on this, maybe we can count on that. So I think there is a lot of opportunity at this time. But there's also, of course, reasons for legitimate alarm.
And I think that one of the key things that people are going to be seeking out is a place where they can have these discussions openly and honestly. And it seems to me like your podcast, where people can find it on Rumble, called Pardon Me, might be dedicated to bringing truth to the American people and providing this conversation. What inspired you to start this podcast, and where do you want people to connect with you?
Well, what I see on the national level is a lot of television shows on the right and a lot of podcasts. I would call them affirmation podcasts. They basically tell you what you already believe, and they want you to follow the podcast because you say to yourself, hey, I'm really glad there's somebody else who thinks like I do. But they don't teach you anything. You never listen to these podcasts or shows and go, wow, I never thought of that. So I want to do like a different kind of podcast that is illuminated by philosophy and history and religion, that is about politics but draws from literature and many other fields. And the idea is that you're going to learn something new, and you're going to have not only a new set of ideas, but also, I would say, a new tone. Because I don't like this kind of hangdog, we're defeated, where do we go from here, it's the end, America's finished. None of that is even true. And so having the right attitude is going to make us far more effective in the way that we endure what we have to endure, but also make us more creative in fighting back.
Oh, Dinesh, honestly, in the last week, what you just said there is probably the brightest spot of what I've heard anybody from anywhere near the moderate to right side of the aisle say. There's some hope in what you have to say. So go to rumble.com if you want to watch the podcast, or check it out on Apple Podcasts as well. Dinesh, you're welcome on the show anytime. We are really grateful that you've fit us into your schedule.
Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.